Hello guys, welcome to the Blacksmith Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome back.
It's been a long time, Lucy. It's been too long.
Too long. First of all, to be fair, it's on me. Actually, when I think about it, anytime we've taken a while from the podcast, it is my fault. So guys,
no comment.
It's my fault. I mean, I did warn you guys, first of all, I was not in the mood for tennis after Wimbledon. I got tired, child.
Is this actually your first...
This is our first podcast. We recorded
the Blacklist.
Which will be out right after this.
True.
As you know, we are the Blacklist. We were at the Blacklist Awards, and obviously we wanted to release a pod, talk about that night and the winners and everything, because it was a pivotal moment.
It was huge.
So yeah, but why were we MIA? Well, I was tired and I was sick. And
how are you actually, Lucy? You're obviously better now.
What, physically or mentally? I mean, this could be a therapy session.
Both.
Physically, I'm feeling way better. Like, I crashed, which I expected. In fact, I was sitting down waiting for it to happen. Because before Wimbledon, I was up and down, whether it was tennis stuff, work, and personal life. And it was just too much. So my body was just like crashed. Mentally, I was just tired. Mm. I was actually just really tired.
We did say as well, like, this year Wimbledon did feel a bit more, it felt more intense.
It was more intense.
But why do you think that was?
But like I said on the pod that time, is because compared to last year, we had a lot more black players.
True, yeah.
A lot more black players who made it far.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that was just what it
Paolini
was.
Paolini as well.
Paolini reaching the final. Yeah, do you get what I mean? Yeah. Taylor winning the doubles final.
Yeah.
Tyra Graham's double. Like, we had, like, do you get what I mean? Last year, we literally only had one win or one, like, someone making it all the way to the second weekend. Do you get what I mean? So, which is why I'm not too upset, because it's like, wow, like, not only we experienced this, we were part of that history. Do you get what I mean? So, as much as it was great, excuse my French, fucking tired me out. I am exhausted, but I'm so happy to be back. We miss you all, guys. I know some of you, especially like some of your new listeners, are like, where the hell are they? We're here. We just needed a little break, especially that, you know, we are still here. Tennis season is long. Like, we don't have any break.
Year
like, at
round.
Least with football, I swear you guys are like year off for a couple of moments. You guys are off right now, right?
They're back actually this weekend.
Oh,
as in the Premier League anyway. But yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, how are you?
I'm good, Lucy. I've missed you, man.
Oh,
like, let me just start there. I've missed you.
It was so funny. He was like, was it me that I was like, actually, don't call me, don't text me, Eugene, after Wimbledon? I was like, please, go away.
Because Wimbledon was, like we said, it was intense, it was daily, but it was enjoyable. Like,
oh,
it was
fun. 100%. It was a fun time. 100%. No. I had a good time.
To kind of come down from that, like, it was like, damn.
Yeah, it was like...
very, very quick.
But I think that's how my body was like, okay, girl, that's it.
Yeah. But like you said, like, a lot of tennis has happened since.
So a lot of tennis has happened,
obviously, the Olympics, which we'll talk about.
Mm-hmm.
There's been events as well prior to the Olympics.
Olympics, yeah.
And events now that we're currently in. Mm-hmm. So, like, obviously, the Masters in Canada, Toronto, Montreal, which we'll talk about as well. Like, a lot going on. But... yeah, I'm good, Lucy. Like, I'm just happy to be back. Obviously, it's been a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm looking forward to getting into this latest episode.
This latest episode, guys. To be fair, it was kind of hard during the rundown, because I was like, bro, it's been
where do we start?
So long. But we're going to make sure that, you know, we don't keep it like long and annoying or whatnot. So I did want to start by giving a quick shout out to recent winners. Some of you may already know this. If you follow us on socials, you should. If you don't, I really don't know what you're doing. That's been Global, Instagram and Twitter. Thank you. So number one, we had Arthur Fils winning his second ATP 500 title at Hamburg.
No, first ATP 500, but second ATP title.
Ah, yeah, yeah, third yeah. 500.
First
500,
yeah.
Second ATP title.
Yeah.
Got it. He beat Zverev 6-3, 3-6, 7-6. It was a little bit of drama, but I'm not talking about that.
Crazy.
But shout out to...
He handled himself really well, though.
Yeah, he did. He did. Very mature. Even right after it as well, he acted like he did not even, like, happen. And he focused on, you know, just celebrating his win.
Reached a career high 20.
Nah.
Which is mad. As in,
oh,
after that week. Yeah, so he's... I think he's in the top 30 now, comfortably. But yeah, he reached 20 in the world.
So I can't believe it. There was a time where this man hit top 50 and I was just so excited. Nuts. Now top 20.
But I remember when he was just outside the top 100, like, oh yeah, he's going to break in this soon. And like, look at him now. Yeah.
Amazing. So shout out to Arthur Fils for winning that title. We also had Alicia Parks, who won another challenger title. I think this is her second or third
one. So no, this is a WTA 125.
Oh, okay. Yeah, WTA 125. Sorry. Yeah, obviously.
The Polish Open.
Polish Open, which she won as a qualifier. So she had to qualify for that.
So mad.
Yeah, yeah, so huge. She beat Maya Joy in the finals 4-6, 6-3, 6-3. So shout out to Alicia Parks. Mm-hmm. And lastly, we have Taylor Townsend, who's been on a crazy run since Wimbledon. We'll talk about that more. But Taylor Townsend and Asia Muhammad beat Yan Xinyu and Wu Fan
Shen. Yeah.
Apologies, you guys know me and the names. We don't go together. 7-6, 6-3 in a doubles final at Washington.
This is the WTA 500.
And this is the third title that Taylor and Asia won together. And this is actually the second title win that Taylor won. What was the first one? Was it a challenger?
She went on the run. So this is the first event she played since Wimbledon.
Oh, okay.
So
cool.
She was on like a winning streak.
Oh, okay, From Wimbledon, basically. So shout out to all of those winners. You see that, guys? You see that? We were not here. But
win.
Like I always say, we always leave with something. It does not matter how big or how small, we leave with something. Even if we don't leave with a title, win with a great match or career rankings like going higher.
Crazy.
Like, honestly, it just gets better. So shout out to all of those players for killing it right after Wimbledon. And what I like about this is that the players like Arthur and Taylor had such an incredible run at Wimbledon, and right after that, they just carried it on. Yeah. Especially like Arthur, for example, like literally was a week after. Mm,
true.
Like just a week.
And a completely different surface.
So yeah, but shout out to them. But obviously, we are Tuesday today. The Olympics literally just wrapped up. So we're just going to talk about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about the Olympics overall? Not just about tennis.
I really enjoyed it, Lucy. Like, yeah, I feel like as each one kind of, happens, or each Olympic cycle, it kind of sticks in my memory longer, just because obviously like you're older and like you
That's true. That's a good point.
Remember things. Like 2012 was also special for us, obviously being in London.
That was the last best Olympics.
I don't like to compare, like, and there's a lot of recency
bias.
Do you get me? But yeah, 2012 was special. 2016 in Rio, don't really remember much of it in terms of tennis as well. Like, I don't remember it being that.
Yeah.
It didn't grip me. Obviously there was Tokyo, which was the COVID Olympics, but that happened in 2021. And obviously that was like COVID.
Yeah,
so
that was
the same.
That's so unfortunate.
Really was. But I feel like this Paris was special. Like it just felt, I don't know, like the energy and like the vibe, you kind of felt it through the TV.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
And obviously you were in Paris.
I was in Paris.
So like how was it for you?
Obviously I didn't go to any of the things. I know some of you might be looking at me like,
what are you doing?
Like I was not bothered, guys. I spent enough money, just that. But even like not being there, even like not actually being at some of the matches or games or whatever, the energy was just great. Like obviously the Olympic stuff was just like everywhere. Even watching it on TV, like when I came back to London, I didn't really like, it was only the tennis stuff that I followed. Okay. I didn't really follow the others.
Athletics or?
No, I was just looking at the clips on social.
Okay.
But first of all, I think it's because I had really easy access to watching the games.
Yeah.
Whereas we're coming back to London, like BBC coverage wasn't the best.
Yeah, because I was watching it really on Discovery.
A lot of people were. Luckily, which to me is crazy. I know a lot of people say on social, but I'm also going to say it as well. But I feel like the Olympics is one of those things where it should be free.
100%.
Like people should be able to just watch it like anyhow they want to watch it. Because at the BBC, for example, even when they were showing the tennis finals, bare people were complaining.
Yeah.
Like they were showing it in one channel, then the other channel, then they stopped showing.
It's quite limited.
It was coverage, so limited, yeah. So obviously applying for like, luckily, thank God, thank God the discovery thing was only $3.99. Like, imagine if it was more, because, you know, some people, not everyone can like afford, I out here paying like $12.99 just to watch.
Because I just did it. I had it through, I think, Amazon Prime. That's how I was doing it. So I don't know if I'm even paying extra for that.
You're probably paying extra, but you don't even know.
Oh my God.
You know Eugene, he's a baller.
Oh, stop it, Lucy. No, that's annoying.
He's calling me a baller.
Stop it. No,
it depends. It depends, maybe. I don't know, but I'll be...
So you have to pay extra to watch it on Discovery?
Yeah,
on
you
Discovery.
Have to pay, yeah, if it was $3.99. That's the only reason why I didn't complain too much, because I was like, at least it's $3.99. Like, for example, for Eurosport, we have to pay $6.99. Huh?
You shouldn't have to pay, like you said.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like you shouldn't, but... Yeah, but honestly, but either way, being there, I think the funniest thing about being there during the Olympics is that the streets were empty because everyone in Paris ran away. And normally in August in Paris, because obviously I go there very frequently, August in Paris is dead in general.
Mm.
Because one thing about the people in France, they don't joke about the summer holidays. They will take it, and they will take it for the entire month. They actually get like, legally, they get a lot of days off.
So where are they going then? As in,
they go like south of France. So a lot of them have like holiday homes. Yeah. Okay. Even though they go south France, or they actually travel. They travel out of the country. Okay. Yeah. So the fact that the Olympics were there, they were scared that, the tree's going to be busy. You know, it's going to be tourists. It was calm and quiet as hell. Like, people were even making funny TikToks like, where's all this noise that you guys were talking about? Like, there's nothing happening. But the vibe was still there. The energy was there. Like, watching the ceremony was fun.
What did you make of the ceremony, actually?
Well, obviously
on the how do you say it? I can't.
Well, it's Seine in French. I don't know what it is in English, it's Seine in French.
That polluted river. Sorry.
Do you know what? A lot of people online were complaining about the ceremony, but it shows to you the disconnect between the Anglophone and the Francophone culture. If you actually understood the references for like, in terms of like in the French culture, you will be like, yo, this ceremony is really good.
Yeah.
So a lot of people that were watching stuff and they didn't understand the meaning behind. Even me, there were some things I didn't understand. Like, luckily I was with my best friend. Okay. So she was telling me like, this is what it means. That's what it means. There was some stuff I kind of put two and two together, but there was a lot of stuff she had to explain to me. And I was like, wow. And when I opened Twitter, French Twitter was like,
this
is like, and the thing is, because French people like to cuss out the president, Macron. So they were like, nah, I hate the fact that Macron is doing well right now. Like, this is pissing me off. I can't believe this. So I really feel for people like the Anglophones that were complaining. They were like, this is the worst opening ceremony ever.
Mm.
But it was like, yo, if you actually understood the references of these things, you actually wouldn't say that.
Interesting.
Because even me, the times when I was watching it, then when my best friend explained certain stuff, I was like, oh. So I really, if you are interested, I really urge to maybe find an article online that, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of articles out there that.
Oh, there's a lot.
That shares about the references and stuff. And I say, read it. Like, it's honestly interesting. Like, it really made me even understand so much more of like the French culture and everything. But obviously we can't ignore the ceremony, you know. Zidane giving the, you know, to Nadal, and then seeing Serena. I didn't expect it.
Yeah.
I honestly did not expect anything tennis related for the ceremony. No. Which I should have.
Yeah. I'm
considering that Roland Garros is in Paris.
Because this is the thing, like, you can say, oh, Eugene, yeah, you're just saying that like, after the fact. I suspected Serena having some kind of involvement.
Really?
Yeah, just because I saw that she was in Paris.
So that's the thing. So I saw a lot of pictures and she looked like she was just like a guest. Because she was dressed really nice. She was with her daughter, her husband, or like her umbrella holder, like the commentators were saying. But I was seeing all of that. So I was like, okay, no, she's not thinking. So when I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh. But it was really exciting because, again, it really puts tennis at the forefront.
Matt, it was huge.
And huge. I really love how they included Nadal. Obviously, Nadal's career is so big in Paris. And that's why I was like, I should have expected this.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? Like, he's like, the guy has a statue of himself at bloody Roland Garros. Like,
it's like a second home.
Like a second home, yeah. Like, he's won all these titles there. But yeah, the ceremony was really, really cool. But in terms of like the actual...
We've got a shout out like Coco as well, being flag bearer.
Oh, yes, the flag bearer. Like, so I didn't know that flag bearers, there's two. Because I was like, why is LeBron James holding it? And you know how, you know, people, they don't joke about their LeBron James. They don't joke. You know, LeBron James is like their...
The king.
Their king.
Rightly so.
That's like their future of basketball. Rightly like, you so. Can't you can't say one thing about... So I was confused. I was even scared of asking, like...
The king.
Why is LeBron James holding the... But then someone explained to me that it's actually... It has to be one female athlete and a male athlete. Yeah. But yeah, what I loved a lot about that is I love how it was...
Announced.
Eubanks
yeah,
being the special. One announcing her. Like, it was so
and she was
nice.
Shocked. Like,
yeah, she was really, like, really like, shocked. Because it's a massive thing. Yeah. Especially that like, the US team, I mean, come on. They...
Stacked.
That, do you see that boat? That boat was huge. Did you watch it? Like, when they did the thing? Yeah.
And it's, boat, it's boat like every, single one, like, every single one of them came.
This
like,
is what I was saying. The two countries that had the biggest boats was literally France, obviously, they hosted it, and also US. And like, it was full.
I want to say they ended up topping the medals table too, as in the USA.
I think so. But I mean, to me, it makes
them
sense
and
because...
China. But
the
yeah, I'm
thing
sure
is,
USA topped
the
it.
Thing is with the US as well is that they have the resources.
100%.
They have the access to be doing these stuff. And I remember someone even tweeted about, if you look at how the top athletes or the ones that got a lot mad medals, if you look at their background, they had the access.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but either way, shout out to everyone who was there, whether they won or not. Like,
it's
just
a huge,
being
it's a huge
at the
deal,
Olympics
man.
Alone.
And I'd say one thing for me this year, a takeaway personally, like, obviously, you want to win gold, like, as an athlete. Like, that is the pinnacle of, like, the Olympics. But, Lucy, to medal, to get a silver medal or bronze, like, that
facts.
Is huge.
Facts.
So,
honestly,
that was, like, my biggest thing, like, this year, or I say this year, this Olympics. I was like, Eugene, like, put some more respect on these people winning silver and bronze.
Oh, no, 100%.
How many people can say, oh, I won a medal at the Olympics? When you, especially when you think about the amount of people that compete, like, at
that's
the games.
True. That's
like,
true. That's
so
true.
That was my biggest thing like, that I took away. But just on like tennis's influence, like, we did post about it. Like, yeah, you mentioned Serena, Nadal, Amélie Mauresmo as well. Obviously, she has a big role with the French Federation, French Tennis Federation. I think she's actually the head of the French Tennis Federation. Or is it Roland Garros? No, she's Roland Garros tournament director.
She's Roland Garros tournament director.
Yeah.
That's it, yeah.
But yeah, there was Elina Svitolina. She was the Ukraine flag bearer.
Oh, okay.
Dan Kukovinic, she was the, I think, Serbia? No, Montenegro, sorry. And Nicolas Jarry, Chile.
Oh.
So, like, just tennis having this, like, prominent, like, role in the opening ceremony. I was like,
that's
so
really
it's a
dope.
Proud moment.
That's
like,
really, really dope.
And obviously Coco USA, like, that is, it's huge.
It's huge. No, it really is. It really, really is.
And for me, the actual tennis event, I thought it lived up to expectation.
I think this is the first time in a long time. I think this is the first time since 2012 that I actually did enjoy or didn't, I won't say enjoy, but like, I was actually enjoying,
like, fully like in tune.
Like it was easier for me to, you know, at the beginning, I'm not going to lie, it was kind of hard because I really clocked out tennis after Wimbledon. I don't think anyone understands.
I was like, Lucy, where are you?
I clocked out. All the tweets that you guys have been seeing, not me. It's just been Eugene. I only posted one funny tweet because that's all I did. I'm a clown. But I really clocked out. So it was very, very hard. But it was always there anyways. Yeah, like, one thing about me, my TV is going to be on and it's either Joe Budden podcast or tennis. That's literally all you see it playing at the back anyways. But... yeah, so I think for me, it was a little bit more, which I did not expect it.
Yeah.
Because I hated going from clay to grass to clay. I actually thought I'll be following a lot more of the other tournaments. And I did a little, I didn't follow it thoroughly, but I watched a little bit, like Hamburg and stuff and blah, blah, blah.
Atlanta as well.
Yeah, Atlanta, yeah. I did watch some Atlanta matches, but... yeah, but it was actually fun. But I think it's also because we had some interesting stuff. Mm. Like, for example, the interesting draw of Novak and Nadal, second round. Nadal and Carlos playing doubles together.
Yeah, big. Murray
retiring. Kerber retiring. Naomi coming back. Mm. You know, Coco being like the flag bearer and everything. Like, there was a lot of things.
Yeah.
So that's why I think as well, prior to that, it was like, there was that little, I don't know. I just did not, or maybe my expectations were so low that I actually was like, oh, okay, it wasn't too bad. But yeah, it was fine. So shout out to Andy. Him and Danovers actually played some really fun matches. Like, they their first two rounds, if I remember correctly, they were supposed to be like losing that. Like they were just, but they fought through. And it was so nice seeing the excitement from both. Like even Dan Evans was doing like his most as well. But Andy is gone, which is crazy. Like,
it is mad.
Absolutely insane. And I loved his tweet when he made it. It was like, I never liked tennis anyways. That was really sick. So shout out to Andy Murray. Kerber as well. She quickly announced her retirement, like right before Olympics, she announced it. Whereas with Andy, we knew at least a month or two before he was going to be done.
Why do you think that was?
I don't know. Maybe she kept it low-key as well.
She's also
or maybe she wasn't sure to fit. Yeah, so, she was a mom. She came back. But hey, I've always said, once you have a Grand Slam, that's it. Sorry. Yeah, that's why I was so confused when Wozniacki came back. I was like, girl, what are you doing? You got a brilliant husband. Two kids, I believe. Mad money. Your best friend with Serena. Why are you back in this struggle? Go and have your fun and enjoy your millions and your Grand Slams. Like, you get what I mean? Like, yeah. So, I mean, Kerber has done it. She's won her slams. She's proved herself. She had a decent career.
She had a very good career. Yeah.
And she played really well as well. I mean, and she lost to the gold champion anyways. Mm. So shout out to Kerber. Shout out to Andy. Thank you guys for your legacy. But regarding the winners, like I said, we always leave with something. There's no such thing as Black Spain Global, as you can see. Look at her.
The merch.
Merch coming soon, by the way. But we'll always leave with something. We always do. So, our Ghanaian-Italian sis.
Or Italian-Ghanaian, really.
Italian-Ghanaian sis. Whichever it is, I'm just emphasizing on the Ghanaian, okay? Jasmine Paolini and Sarah Errani secured the first ever gold medal in tennis for Italy at the Olympics.
Winning women's doubles.
Women doubles. I actually expected them to win, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, this is actually theirs from the very beginning. That was probably the only... That and Djokovic winning the gold were my two predictions for thing. I thought Iga was gonna win the women's one. Those were my predictions. So I definitely had Jasmine Paolini and Sarah Errani. They've been playing really well. I knew it was really big. Coming from women, I mean, this year has just been incredible for them. It's been incredible for Jasmine as well. And it's clay. They're both great on clay. And you can tell Sarah really wants to, you know. I mean, she's getting closer to the end of her career because of age, I'm guessing. Obviously, she hasn't said anything, but obviously she's, I just think it's just really great.
She's won it all now. So she's won every Grand Slam, doubles Grand Slam, and now she's won the gold. So
listen,
like, that's career. That's an incredible
This is
career.
What I'm saying. That's wonderful. So shout out to Sarah. Shout out to Jasmine for doing that. We also had Felix, who was really close to securing the men's bronze. Lost to Musetti, who's been really on form, by the way. I don't know if people are aware, but dad, he's doing so. I don't know. This guy had a baby and was like, I have to feed my child. It's time for me to win some matches. Lorenzo has actually been on smoke ever since he had that child. I don't know what it is.
Got a mouth to feed.
He's like, listen, he saw them diapers and then baby food, was like, this is expensive. I have to go and work harder. So shout out to Musetti. He actually won a title right before.
No. So he lost in the. So it's a great shout. He lost in the final.
He lost in the final.
Umag.
Yeah.
So and that's a great point, Lucy. I'm glad you mentioned that. So Umag was played. The final was played on Saturday, and then the Olympics started on the Sunday. So he had to play on that Sunday against Gael Monfils.
Yes.
And he won.
Yeah, he won.
And,
yeah.
And as did Francisco Schwondolo, who actually did win in Umag. Mm-hmm. He also had to play on that Sunday in Paris. And he won as well. So just a turnaround.
Yeah.
Like,
and they didn't have a lot of rest because obviously they had to go all the way to the airport.
It was literally day after.
Thank God nothing happened. Like, you never know with flights. Imagine if the flight got cancelled. Imagine, do you get what I mean? So I don't know, maybe. But it just shows to you how difficult it was probably for tennis professionals when the Olympic dates were announced. They probably looked at the calendar like, what the hell do we do now?
And also for me, it made me think about just the kind of travel, extensive. Taylor Townsend, she posted about it actually recently, about her troubles getting from Canada back to the States.
Yeah, I saw that.
The travel is a joke.
It's like, a lot. I think people underestimate
it. Massively.
I think people underestimate and they have to deal with the time zone and everything.
Tennis players don't get enough credit for that because facts. All you see is them on the court. True. But like, there's a lot that kind of gets them, to that point.
Physically, that financially.
See. So.
Like, these are tickets you have to buy all the time.
Like, huge, huge shout out.
Yeah.
So obviously, well done to
Musetti, yeah.
For Felix, like, it was a good run, Lucy. So he did. Daniil Medvedev for the first time. Never beaten him before.
Yes.
And that was, I think, in the third round, I think. I think it was the third round.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the quarterfinals, he beat Casper Ruud. And again, that was a three-set match. Casper Ruud is a clay court specialist.
Yeah.
Huge really win. Good, yeah. And then obviously he lost to Carlos Alcaraz in the semi-finals.
Mm-hmm.
Which was like a quick kind of. I don't think he was best pleased with his performance because it was a pretty comprehensive win for Alcaraz.
Yeah,
but
I mean Alcaraz is he just won the title at Roland Garros anyways.
Take nothing away from Felix though in that run, and I kind of was expecting him to beat Musetti. I'm not gonna lie, I thought he was gonna win.
Do you know what? I didn't even think Musetti. First of all, I thought Musetti was gonna lose on the first round. Let's just get that straight. Only because I was like, there's no way you can play back to back like this, like with a flight and everything. Mm. Like you're gonna be tired. No, I was like, what? I was like, I don't understand. So let's just get that straight. I'm definitely with you. I actually thought when I saw he lost to Carlos, I was like, okay, at least there's a chance here for a bronze. We're going to secure it.
Yeah.
And
he did already secure the mixed doubles bronze before that match.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, at least he's got that.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. Maybe he was tired. Maybe he was... That's a good point. Because he had a very tough draw. Yeah. I mean, look at all the names that you mentioned.
And like these are big players. Matches. So he's playing singles and doubles. So like fatigue probably did play a part.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. And who knows? Maybe he felt pressured. Who knows? I don't know. But either way, it doesn't matter. Like you said, he secured a mixed double. He secured a bronze medal with Gabby Dabrowski in mixed doubles. So again, he left with something. Mm-hmm. And like you even said earlier, gold, silver, bronze.
It's big.
You still won a medal.
It's big.
And you were at the Olympics. And, you know, it's been really tough on Felix. So I'm really hoping that his run at the Olympics kind of gives him that confidence in it for the next couple of tournaments. The luck that we have is that, I don't know if you noticed, the past 2 years, Felix has been playing really well towards the end of the year.
Yeah, true.
So if you have that and also the way that he's been playing at the Olympics...
Yeah, it's a good point.
A little bit lucky.
It's a very good point.
Just a little bit. So shout out to Felix. Shout out to Gabby. And shout out to Musetti. Shout out to all the dads. The dads that are on job. Not a deadbeat.
Stop it.
but obviously, I know there's a black spin. We have to talk about some people making history, our gold medal winners. So as I said earlier, my prediction was Iga, who got bronze. But the gold medal champion was... I'm going to say surprisingly, not in a bad way, shady way at all, but surprisingly it was Zheng Qinwen. For me, I was surprised. I did not think that she will actually even make it to the podium. And again, that's no disrespect at all. Just that I've been sleeping on my girl. But shout out to Zheng. She is the first Chinese. She's the first. Just like Sarah and Paolini, the first to bring a gold medal in their country. So shout out to Zheng. She played out. The only match of hers that I played was one against Kerber, which was pretty close. But okay. Zheng was like flying through. Even that, I was doing other stuff. But, and obviously...
It's Vekic in the final.
Huh?
Vekic in the final.
Vekic in the final. Vekic did... I feel like she looked more comfortable than she was at Wimbledon.
Interesting.
Had
that match.
And her playing style changed a little bit when she was playing that match. But yeah, whatever. It was.
Had that match against Coco in the third round, which I did tweet about and caught a bit of slack. But we won't get into that.
You caught slack? Well, I didn't even see the notifications.
Well, yeah, like, well, it was more so like, I guess, like Vekic fans, whatever. It wasn't that big. To be fair,
you should have called me, man.
We don't blow things up proportionally.
I would have logged in and, you know, back my guy.
We don't do that.
Why are you catching slack for UG for? You know, UG might not be out there in these streets fighting, but I'm fighting. I'm going to cuss you out. Don't try.
We don't do that. But no, I think, like you mentioned it with Zheng, like, she's a top 10 player. Like, let's not.
She's a top 10 player. But I think, no, because, again, maybe because I don't watch her matches as much.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why. Again, this is Black Spin Global. I am one person and I can, I'm trying to watch everyone here. But it's not easy. But yeah, I haven't, to be fair, even this, I think last year I watched a lot more of her matches than this year.
Okay. This and she year, got to the Australian Open final this year as
she
well.
She did. No, so I know she's great, but maybe, I think maybe on, I wasn't aware of her playing style on clay. I just did not, I honestly did not expect it, but I know she's a great player. I know she's a talented player, but I didn't know it was good to a point where she's getting a gold. And I mean, we all went to this, I mean, most people went to this Olympics thinking Iga's getting a gold.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's that. So yeah. that was one thing already. And aside from her, I was thinking, it's either Iga or Coco. Literally, one of them two. Zeng was just not on my mind at all.
Fair enough.
So when I saw the way she was playing, I was like, oh, shoot. Oh, okay. She's really very numb. But I'm not mad at it. I'm happy she got it. From what I remember when I used to watch her play regularly, she's a great player. She moves well. So, yeah, like, honestly, I'm here for it. Anytime, it's funny because anytime I watch Zeng play, I always tweet. I've not been familiar with the game. Like, she's really talented. Like, she's actually good. I just did not expect it. Aside from that, obviously, Djokovic
again, made history. His first gold.
His first gold. Mm.
Again, now he's won it all.
That's it. He's won it all. A lot of people are now officially calling him the GOAT. Yeah.
That big goal.
I mean, they calling him the GOAT. I'm just saying, Serena Williams, Serena and Venus are the only ones who won both gold in singles and doubles.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So let's just get
that's
that.
That's a great shout.
Venus, the only one who actually has the most gold in tennis. So I'm just putting it out there. I'm not arguing with anyone, you know.
Just stating facts.
Everyone has their own goals.
Just
I got my goal.
Just stating facts.
The goal. But, you know, if you're saying Novak Djokovic is your goal,
fair.
Good for you.
Fair play.
But, you know, this is Black Spin Global podcast. So I'm just saying. But either way, you can't take her the credit, all jokes aside. Shout out to Novak.
Two tiebreak sets.
It is what it is.
Carlos, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think Carlos was like really like nervous
stunned.
And stuff.
He was stunned.
The first set was quite like, you know, tight, but you could see like, you know. And I was really surprised at how much Carlos actually put pressure on himself.
Yeah. I don't know about pressure, like he wanted it. Like
No, it was pressure because he literally said like he said something between like doing it for his country stuff like that. It meant a lot to a point where even Nadal literally quickly went on Instagram story to big him up. Do you get what I mean? And stuff. So,
listen, he'll be back for LA, man. Like,
that's it. He'll be back for LA. But it's just, I think we underestimate how I feel like Carlos is a very sensitive guy, but not in a bad way.
No, I know what you mean.
But I feel like he's very in touch, you know, especially like with the way he expressed himself or like his agent sharing how like he falls for the girls in his DMs that be thinking they're all innocent. Did you not see that? So funny. I was like, oh, the poor guy.
What?
So basically, like, he was saying how, like, his agent did an interview. It was basically explaining, obviously in Spanish.
Okay.
So it was basically explaining how, like, his DM's been blown, especially after the French Open.
Mm.
And obviously, you know, there are some women, I'm pretty sure, they holler at Carlos because they like him and think he's a potential good boyfriend. But unfortunately, we're in a realistic world where people will use you. So obviously the women are thinking he's good looking, he has mad money, he's a champion, he's beaten the, you know, the big three and all. Let me slide in his DM. They're trying to get the opportunity. And then his agent is basically like, I am scared because this guy cannot tell the difference of like when they're just there to just, you know, chop his money or they're there just to like him or something. So like, you know, so when he shared that, I was like, oh, he's just a sweet little boy. So yeah, so I don't know, man, but I was really surprised seeing how emotional he got. But it shows to you why he will make it far in his career because he cares so much. But honestly, bro, you'd won two Grand Slam finals back to back. You've had a great season. Netflix is following you around. You're that guy, man. And you lost to Djokovic. You lost to Djokovic, who came into this tournament bloody angry. This guy played like every match he played was like the matches that I watch anyways. The match against Nadal, That was mean.
It's crazy.
Like, that was mean. This guy took it more seriously than a Wimbledon final. Like, he was so mad. I was like, hold on a minute.
That was punishing.
I do not understand. But yeah, shout out to Novak. That's it. He's got it all now. You can go. You can go. You know. No, I'm joking. It is what it is. Yeah, shout out to Novak. Shout out to Carlos. And shout out to everyone who was part of the Olympics. But yeah, but now that's done. Well, the normal Olympics. We've got the Paralympics coming soon. But other than that, we are now in America.
America.
Oh, say can you. We are back in America. American swing. We've had a couple of tournaments. But so far, we had some great things happening. So Taylor Townsend, man, you special. She had an incredible run at Toronto, reaching her first WTA 1000 quarterfinals.
As a lucky loser as well. She came into the draw. So she was a lucky... She lost in the final round of qualifying and got in as a lucky loser.
Perfect, man.
So huge.
Yeah, she unfortunately lost to Emma Navarro. It was a really, really good match. Although she lost that match, that was actually one of my favourite matches from her because it showed to me the growth as a single matches player from like before, like even just last year.
And Navarro is a good she's a player,
that's what
man.
I'm saying. Like, yeah.
And shout out to Navarro too, the post on the boat with LeBron.
With LeBron, she was. I was like, you're real for that. You are so real for that. That picture was so funny. Like, I was like, that was the best selfie, honestly. But that match was really good because she was. I saw so many different skills from Taylor. Mm. I saw like so many better like movements, and especially playing someone like against Navarro is not that easy. But yeah, like it's just incredible how she won the title. She made it all the way to the quarterfinals, at WTA 1000 as well.
Massive.
It's pretty big. So yeah, her form is going good. I think she's going to be playing. I feel like she'll do really well at the US Open.
Yeah, same.
I can see it. And not just in doubles, in singles too, as well. Yeah. So shout out to her. Aside from that, I'm going to stick with a woman. Naomi Osaka as well. She's back. Her favorite surface. How do you feel about Osaka on hard
court? Yeah, I mean, obviously, so of far? Course, it's good to see her back, man. Like, I mean, she had a disappointing performance. Obviously, she played on Jabeur, which is a good win. But Jabeur also, she's kind of going through a bit of a bad patch or rough patch at the moment.
It was, although Ons didn't play that well that match, Osaka was good.
Yeah, no, true, exactly.
She was still good. But yeah, Ons wasn't her best.
But then she did lose to Elise Mertens in the following round. But again, Mertens, again, she brings it.
Like, oh yeah, no, I... When I saw Mertens next, I was like, oh yeah, no.
I don't know because she beat. I'm pretty sure she beat her earlier this year.
She did, grass, but it's. I think that's what I'm. I don't know. Like, do you know what it is? Which is why I asked you the question about how you feel about Osaka, because before I even say what I said, she then lost her last qualifying match for Cincinnati.
Oh, against Ashleen Kruger, yesterday, yeah.
Her first one, which apparently was ramped packed, like it was a qualifier match.
Anna Blinkova.
Yeah, it was looking like a first, second round match. I did not have expectations for Osaka this season.
Yeah.
I was just like...
Which we've said.
But I just want to say for the people...
Okay. Say it again.
I'm saying it again, okay? I did not have as much expectation for Osaka. A... newly mum, who came back to tour before her child even turned one, very quickly, getting back to her feet. And one thing we need to remember as well is that Osaka wasn't 100% on form before she was even pregnant. So even prior to, before her pregnancy, she was still trying to get back into, you know, her game like before. It's like she, and she said it herself, she clocked out mentally that like she was not okay. She now has a purpose. She now has more motivation. She has like her goals and everything. But I hate when I say this because I know you hate as well. But I hate the fact that I'll be scrolling and I'm reading some of the tweets and I'm like, guys,
I know.
Guys, please, I understand the frustration.
I get it.
I get it as fans, as us very selfish and what's the word? As if like she owes us something. Mm. These times, some of you are not even paying to watch the matches. Some of you are doing bloody illegal sites and you're still opening that silly Elon Musk app to be chatting crap about the, I mean, we all chat, I mean, okay. Me, I chat crap about what, but I like to be realistic. Look at me. I'm probably Novak's number one hater and I just bigged him up. You see, you have to balance it out. But all I'm trying to say is I really want people to keep in mind that Osaka just needs the time. She is a mom who literally, she had a breezing through, pregnancy or like giving birth to her child. Mm. Like her child had complications. She had complications. Like the woman body is just different. There will be, and I think especially that right now, for example, that match against Mertens, the one that she lost, really, really what costed her were the errors.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? Like a lot of the stuff, the only new issue that's been for Osaka is being able to close those matches at important moments, closing it quickly and reducing those errors. Mm. The issues that she had, and the rest of the issues are issues that she had even before. So these are things that she's supposed to be fixing anyways, but you still loved her. So now why is it like, just go, do you get what I mean?
Definitely,
like,
definitely.
And don't get me wrong, I understand where it's coming from, but I genuinely did not expect people to be expecting so much from Osaka when she just came back. Like, I'll be reading, like, if it's been at least 2-3 years, I can even understand. Do you get what I mean? But it's not even been a year.
Mm.
It's not been a year. She's playing more matches than she's ever had in one season, even before her pregnancy as well. She wasn't playing this much.
That's my biggest, like, takeaway. That's the thing I'm most pleased with, the fact that she's playing all these events. Like,
bro, there was a time we were crying for Osaka to literally play more matches. Mm. We were like, hey, girl, there's this tournament. Are you going to be playing? No, she was not playing. Now she's playing more matches. Enjoy that.
Yeah.
Because it might be a time where Osaka can actually retire right now if she wants.
Straight.
she got her millions. Mm. She got her child. She did what she had to do. She had four grand slams. I mean, she can literally retire if she wants, if she really wanted to. But she's still here. Let's enjoy that. But again, I totally understand. As a fan, I totally get it. And as a fan, and especially if you've been a fan of tennis for so long, where you're so used of like the old school players, like going on the madness
and dominating, yeah.
And dominating. Yeah. I think that's another thing that us tennis fans are actually struggling with spoiled, as well.
Definitely.
We've actually been spoiled. Mm. Like the ones back in the days, they were dominating. Especially, I feel like the people who suffer the most with this is Serena fans.
But also, Lucy, I think that's what makes a sport special. Like, and for me, and like, I think I said it earlier, like recency bias. I like where we're at right now.
100%.
In terms of having, you could have a different Grand Slam winner, like literally every Grand Slam. I love that.
Although there's that difference, I'm with you. I love it. Hence why it's funny, because even someone called me out on it. Like, yo, you're always telling the older players to retire. I'm like, yeah, because I want. I'm sorry. Like, let's have some fun here, okay? I want to enter a tournament and have no idea who's actually going to be winning. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
At the moment, we can kind of do that depending on some services. Like Wimbledon for women, we've been freestyling it since. Other than that, we're always like Novak, Nadal or Carlos. And Carlos is even just recently.
Now, yeah,
and that's even literally last year I had Novak, keep playing it. This year, I did not have Carlos to win Wimbledon at all. Do you get what I mean? So like, yeah, I want them to go, but not because I don't rate them, but because, I don't know, for me, it's exciting going into a tournament, Grand Slam or not, and having no idea like who's actually going to be winning. Do you get what I mean?
Also on Osaka, like obviously we're on her still. Like,
yeah,
I respect the fact that she played qualifying at Cincinnati.
I was really excited about that,
because like, yeah, she could have been like, why am I playing qualies? Mm-hmm. Like, give me a wild card. Yeah. And if I don't get a wild card, I'm not playing. Yeah. Like,
it shows you how much she wants.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, we should respect that. So. And yeah, she unfortunately lost in the final round to Ashton.
But these are the things that will help to build it up.
Completely. So I think, yeah, she deserves massive credit for playing qualifying. She'll most likely play Ohio, which is a 250,
mm-hmm.
Next week. But we'll see. We're yet to know.
I think US Open, she'll get a wild card though.
Yeah. No, I Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, definitely. She's
she will 100% two-time winner. So two-time winner.
That's a given. But she's I don't think she'll need a wild card now. Is she back? I think she's back.
Oh, yeah. I
think she's July. Yeah, so yeah, she probably will need the wild card.
She'll need it.
Yeah. Listen, Osaka will be fine, man. She'll be fine. And like you said, we need to stop putting like these crazy kind of expectations on her. Like, and just enjoy watching her, basically. Yeah. Like, yeah. Because, yeah, we've been spoiled, like you said.
100%. We're too spoiled. Years, but... We're so, that's the word, entitled. That's the issue with us tennis fans. We're so entitled. And that's why I'm saying us for me, because if I'm not like that with Osaka, I'm probably like that with someone else. But in my head,
yeah,
you know, because I'm just like, because these tennis players be on Twitter. That's a thing that you can't see.
They be seeing.
They be seeing. They are preying. They know. They know who you guys are. They really know who you guys are. You guys think it's just one little thing. They see your tweets. But yeah, shout out to Osaka. Aside from matches, Tiafoe has, well, obviously you guys already know this, but we were off, but Tiafoe's officially started working with David Witt.
Mm-hmm. Jessica Pegula's former coach.
And also Venus's, I believe. Yep. Venus. And I think exactly. He works a little bit with Sloane.
I don't know about Sloane. Sakari this year.
Sakari.
Yeah.
Was it not Sloane? I don't think Sloane. Maybe I'm confusing someone. Okay, yeah, no. But yeah, so new coach. But yeah, I hope this partnership works for like the rest of the year, because it's been up and down for Tiafoe this season.
He showed good signs though in Washington. He did lose to Korda, the eventual champion.
Mm-hmm.
But he got a nice win against Andrei Rublev, which is pretty big. Rublev was the top seed there.
Yeah, non-tennis related, but Wale and Pusha T were there, you know, obviously.
The culture.
They from there. No, well, it's Virginia and DC. I think it's near DC.
Yeah, I think it's nearby. It's not the same state.
It's not the same state.
But Wale is
from DC. Yeah. Pusha T is from Virginia.
And Pharrell's also Virginia, isn't he?
I think so.
Yeah. Clips, man. Like... Why are we turning into Matt Maidar? Like, anyway.
Should we play grinding?
but I'm excited for TFO. Like,
same.
That is a solid coaching appointment.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Witt has more kind of experience on the WTA side.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, he knows, or there has been a relationship there with TFO in terms of being American and, you know, just being in and around it. So. Yeah. I'm expecting good things.
For sure.
Yeah.
And right now, well, actually, by the time this is out, Cincinnati will be on.
Cincy.
We were going to initially share the draw, but it doesn't make sense because, like I said, it's going to be on by the time this is out. The first round will be done, especially. But yeah, obviously, some of the players that we have that are going to be playing is Péricard, Tiafoe, Shelton. Who Felix is playing there as well, I believe.
Yeah.
Felix, Fils, Monfils.
That's it for the men,
yeah. And then for the women, we have Robin Montgomery.
Came through qualifying.
Yeah.
As did Taylor Townsend.
Mm-hmm. So it's shout huge. Out to them.
And then Goff and Paolini.
Goff, seeds. Paolini.
So they both get first round buys. So. Yeah.
They do.
Pretty good. Obviously, ooh. This is now, we're getting closer to the US Open. So
we are.
This is the last Masters event before the US Open. And then there's one more 250. And then that's it.
I feel like because of the Olympics.
I know, it's been nuts. It's been crazy.
I feel like there's basically not been any hardcore. Yes. I bet the US Open was so annoyed. Because obviously these pre-tournaments kind of like help with build the momentum and stuff. Yeah. So... Yeah, but yeah, that was, I don't know, it just feels like it was Wimbledon and that's it. But yeah, either way, I'm excited. Obviously, US Open is my personal favorite Grand Slam, which someone had a debate with me about.
Who?
Because they were like, there hasn't been a lot of the, it makes sense, a lot of the like monumental like matches, like big matches were either like during Australia Open or Wimbledon. But not as much of the US Open. And I was like, I get it. But my thing, I just feel like...
What, is this in history or this year?
Just in history, okay. In general. And I just feel like with the US Open, my thing is... the reason why I enjoy it so much is because I feel like in terms of the quality of the matches,
yeah.
It doesn't... US Open to me is the only Grand Slam where we don't have to wait to the second week for it to be like heated up. I feel like from the first week, we have literally very high quality matches. And I always use this as like, I feel like the reason why is because this is the last Grand Slam of the year. Give it all or you have to wait till like Australian Open. Mm. Do you get what I mean? But I don't know. I get that a lot of the big matches like the Nadal and Federer finals, Wimbledon or Federer and Roddick finals, like all of them type of things, or like, you know, Serena and Venus at the Australian Open, them type, or Serena and Sharapova and whatnot, they were all like Australian or, you know, Wimbledon or whatnot. But I just like, I don't know. To me, like whenever I use that argument, I don't know, but it was an argument. But I was just like,
because for me, one of the best US Opens in for recent memory for me was the COVID one.
That one slapped. I love US Open. US Open's the only Grand Slam for me where I can sit down as a fan, not as a podcaster.
Okay.
As a fan, as in if this did not exist, that was probably because before even BSG, US Open was the only Grand Slam that I could able to literally sit down the entire day and have and enjoy. I literally enjoy every
from
single match.
From 4 o'clock until 4 in the morning.
100%. All the other ones is like, okay, I'm interested in this match, but I don't have to sit down and watch it. US Open, I felt like the draws, I don't know what it is. If you guys rigged your draws, you guys are doing it good.
Stop it. Stop it.
But the draws, I don't know what it is, but it's so fun.
Interesting.
Like, I don't know. For me, last year was the first ever time in a very long time I did not actually enjoy a lot of US Open matches. But other than that, it's been like years straight of me just, I get so excited for US Open. I'm like, I can sit down here and literally watch mad matches. So
well, you ain't got long to wait, Lucy. So.
No long to wait. We are going to US Open soon. We're going to have the US Open.
Thanks.
Yeah, but that was it for today.
It was a nice, I guess, a nice wrap up episode.
A nice wrap up. Kind of considering that we've been off for like a couple weeks. I mean, we're doing really well. But again, as usual, either way, you should be following us on socials. If you follow us on socials, then you'll not have missed anything.
True story.
Like, as I've said so many times, on socials, we literally post. So after a match, you have all the updates there and little funny tweets. But we are back. We will also be pushing soon the Black Tennis List Awards pod. That will be out soon. We did record that, but I was ill. So, but you'll get it. And we will be back. We'll be back. When are we actually back?
Well, pre-US Open.
We didn't talk about that.
For the draw.
Yeah.
So we'll be back before the US Open starts.
We'll be back before the US Open starts.
So just look out.
But in the meantime, and I don't know if I should announce this.
What?
But we didn't agree on a date.
We haven't agreed on a date.
I know some of you guys are literally waiting for us to drop this, but it will drop very soon. Very soon. Sorry for the delay. We keep on saying, we'll drop it.
But guys,
you know,
it's
coming anyways. But thank you guys for your support. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you follow us on socials and make sure you subscribe. And we shall catch you soon for the US Open.
Pre-US Open draw.
Peace.
Take care.